Love Commandments, John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. Many of you may know Dwight Moody. He was a missionary who led a great revival in the United States in the 19th century. He still is the talk of the whole world by many preachers. Personally, I'm also a fan of missionary Moody, so when I came to Evanston to study in seminary, I first visited the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Therefore, when I moved into the parsonage, I was very proud of my address. You know what? It's South Moody Road. One day, Moody had a chance to go to England to lead a revival assembly, so he visited Charles Spurgeon, whom he had admired for a long time, and who still is called a king of the preachers. It was a big event. The greatest revivalist and the preacher met. When Moody first met Spurgeon, he was very surprised and disappointed with Spurgeon because there was a pipe in his mouth, which means he smoked. So Moody asked him, "How can a Christian smoke? You who are even a great preacher." Then Spurgeon said to him, "Oh man, look at your big belly. Is it okay to have that as a Christian?" Isn't it fun? This fun story shows us that the standard of judging others' condemnation is different from culture to culture. Still in America, some conservative denominations regard smoking and drinking as sin. But churches in Europe, including England, have a very generous understanding of drinking and smoking because they think it is not a matter of faith, but a matter of personal health. Instead, they regard gluttony as sin. Based on the long Christian history in Europe, among all human sin, they have taught that there are seven deadly sins, which are lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. Is there anyone who can proudly say that they are sin-free based on these seven deadly sins? Moody's big fat belly can symbolize sin in the eyes of a European Christian. This may show us why so many European Christians, including famous ministers and theologians, love smoking and drinking, just as American Christians love food and eating. Then here is one more to think about. Do you think there is one certain common character in Christianity, regardless of any differences in cultures and regions? What is the essence of Christianity which no one in the world doubts? Today's gospel scripture talks about the essence of Christianity. It is love shown by Jesus Christ. Love is the commandment that we Christians should obey, and love is the goal of life that we should live for. As disciples, followers, believers, we should keep the love commandment of Jesus Christ, which is love God and love our neighbors. Indeed, to live by loving one another is the most important requirement for all of the Christians in the world. Although every Christian easily remembers this love commandment because we've heard it countless times in church, not many of us actually live it out in our daily lives. Oftentimes, we forget it, and sometimes we pretend to forget it. However, when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, He not only gave us this love commitment, love God and love our neighbors, but also He actually lived it out throughout His ministry and His life. First of all, Jesus came to this world because God so loved us. Because of this love, He came to us, though He didn't need to. God does not have any reason to become a human to love us. Therefore, His love is so unique and so special. If you fall in love, you may want to be like your loved one. So, in psychology, there is mirroring effect, which means if you like someone, then you are unconsciously mirroring his or her actions, manner, or way of speaking. This is common in humanity. God did not want to stay as the one who is always far away from us, invisible and intangible, so he came to this world and became like us to understand, to serve, and to love us. As one of us, he served and loved all alienated people, lepers, orphans, widows, and even Judas and Pilate. Therefore, we, the follower of Christian, are called to join his love, but not by just having warm, loving feelings or even actions we regard as loving. We are to love as Christ loved us. So we measure and shape our love after the kind of love Christ had for us and for everyone. Do you know John Vinier? He is a Canadian philosopher, theologian, and active lover. In 1964, he founded the L. Larche Community, which serves people with developmental disabilities. And in 1971, he founded Faith and Light, which is a Christian charity that serves people with developmental disabilities and their families with Mary Helen Marshew. According to John Vinier, to love people as Jesus loves them is to wash their feet, to serve them in humility. It is to help them rise up in truth and love. To love is to lay down one's life for others, to place their interest before our own. It is to reveal to them that they are loved by Jesus. As you know, last week I went on a vacation, and it was the first official family vacation with baby Caleb. My first thought was that Caleb is so blessed to have us as parents. Because my flight experience was when I was junior in high school for the school trip. That was the first. But 11-month-old baby had an opportunity to get on a plane. Isn't that something? I even bought a new swimsuit and inflatable baby float for baby Kayla. In my book, I prepared all the best for him. Providing as best as I can is the way I show that I love him. Since everything was perfectly prepared to my standard, I thought that he would be fine and just enjoy. However, that was a misjudgment on my part. He did not like getting on a plane at all. And he did not like swimming with his swimsuit and baby float. He just wanted to play in the bathtub, splashing water with his hand, rather than floating in the swimming pool. Although I prepared all the best, in his book, it was nothing. From this vacation, I learned that to love is to not insist on my best, but to listen to others' interests and needs and place them before my own. Then they feel that they are loved by me in the best way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7 teaches us what is love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. To love is not to insist on me. It is accepting others as they are. Jesus never insisted nor forced people. He just understood us, accepted us, forgave us, and loved us as we are. This is how Jesus taught us love. And this is the way that we need to follow when we love one another. There are various differences in us because God created us all differently. Everyone sits and lives with different thoughts and different standards. Nevertheless, how can we, all different people in the church, be one body of Christ? That is love. Because of love, we can be one in Jesus Christ. Only His love binds us with Him and one with each other. Our Lord Jesus Christ just embraced us, including all our sins, our faults, and our wounds. And He covered all of them with His love and light. When we live by loving God and loving our neighbors, we are bound to each other in His love. Today is Communion Sunday. His amazing love is greatly revealed in His table as He gave His body and blood for us. While we join in today's Holy Communion, let us remind ourselves where we are. Do we stand in His love? Are we bound in His love? Where are we as individuals? Let us come to Him as we are and remember He chose us and called us to love one another. Praise God. Amen.